Back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. I'm Paul Dottino. He's David Deal. So the Giants are getting set to host Dallas on Sunday, coming off of a 27-7 loss in Philadelphia. And I guess there's probably no better example of the 24-hour rule than that game.
You're not kidding. I mean, the quick turnaround into this home game against the Dallas Cowboys. You know, obviously, it's very important for the Giants to get their rest, to get healthy, to get back out on the field. But one of the biggest factors and one of the best quotes I think that can go into this one, don't just go out to practice to do it right. Make sure when you go out to practice that you do not get it wrong, because preparation is going to be huge this week to regain that confidence that they need against the Dallas Cowboys.
David, as always, it's time for our Geico recap, and 15 seconds can save you 15% or more on auto insurance. And the Giants apparently are looking good in terms of getting linebacker Devon Kennard back from a hamstring.
Obviously, that is going to be a huge factor going into this game. It doesn't matter who the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys was, whether it's Romo, Whedon, or now Castle. We all know Jason Witten's their security blanket. He is the guy that gets their offense moving and opens up things for the three wide receivers and just opens up their run game. So to have Kennard back, who is our best defending tight end matchup, I think it's great. We all saw the plays that he was able to make on Clay in Buffalo, so it's going to be huge to have him back this week.
All right, David, let's take a look at the rest of the Giants' injury list. 10 players on the pre-practice report right now. Most of those guys were already on it going into last week's game. Unga and Wade are the two new ones.
They really are, and you hope that both of those guys are back. We've seen Wade, you know, give his production. Also, Unga, he's been able to come in, fill in for Beeson. They've had going back and forth and split reps up until Beeson had his concussion. So it's going to be important to get as many healthy bodies as they can, because they need all hands on deck in this football game, because all three phases, offense, defense, special teams, cannot have the miscues like they did in Philadelphia.
Now, one of the things that Giants fans keep asking about is Victor Cruz, and when is he going to come back? Now, what we did learn from Tom Coughlin the other day is that he is running on the treadmill underwater. Still no timetable for his return. David, when coach says something like that, what exactly does that mean? What part of the rehab is that from your experience as a player?
Well, I've had knee surgery, so I'm used to doing that, the underwater treadmill. What it allows you to do is it allows you to get your conditioning. It allows you to get all the muscle movements that you need, just like running. But what it does with the water, it doesn't give you the impact on your knees, your calf, your hamstring. So it's giving him the conditioning that he needs to come back out on the football field. But having said that, running in an underwater treadmill and running on a grass field full speed are two completely different things. But it is a great sign for Victor Cruz that he's getting that full motion and not getting that soreness in that calf.
Now, one guy who we really think has a good chance to be back is Robert Ayers, the defensive end, who plays the run very well. Giants rush defense has suffered the last couple weeks. He's missed a month with a hamstring. And remember, he had a forced fumble against Dallas in week one.
And that's going to be huge coming into this game, because you know the Dallas Cowboys are going to want to establish the run immediately, because what they want to do is they want to ease as much of the pressure as they can off of Matt Castle coming in his first game. So they feel if they can get Randall and this offense going in the ground game, that's how they're going to be successful. So to have Ayers back and the rest of these defense, that is going to be crucial in order to stop the run and make them one-dimensional, which is the best benefit for the Giants with Matt Castle trying to drop back 30, 40 times.
Now, what can the Giants do in practice this week to clean up some of the sloppiness that they had in Philly? Three turnovers brings their number to six for the season, and also they committed 12 penalties.
You know, Coach Coughlin is a coach that preaches penalties and turnovers lose football games. I heard it for 10 straight years. So for Coach Coughlin, it's not going to take much. I'm sure when they came back and they reviewed this game on Tuesday, Coach Coughlin could clearly point out where the turnovers and where the penalties directly hurt the Giants and where they helped the Philadelphia Eagles. It was clear watching the game, so it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. You show the numbers, you show the exact plays of what it benefited the Philadelphia Eagles and how it cost your team a loss in a big division game.
Well, let's address the offensive line specifically now, David, because in each of the last two games, they've given up a season-high 7 hits on the quarterback. They gave up a season-high 3 sacks in Philadelphia. So what did you see that can be fixed this week? Because you know Dallas saw the films.
They really did. You know, you have to give credit to the Philadelphia Eagles secondary, because after those first two drives, they were sitting on the short passing routes trying to make sure that Eli Manning would hold on to the football longer. But in the second half, it was the inability to run the football, but also they had to abandon their full game plan because they were in quicksand. Every little thing was hurting him. So when you're not able to run the football successfully and then you're down on the road and momentum is completely out of your way, things aren't going to be in sync. So on first down, second down, they have got to be productive, because the last thing that they want to do is be in third and longs where they cannot run those short pattern routes.
Now, you know the Eagles were concentrating on Shane Vereen after what he had done the previous two games. He had four targets and only one catch against Philly. You know the Giants need to get him going again.
It's going to be very important to get him not only in the screen game to slow down the outside pass rushers of Greg Hardy and Randy Gregory, who are going to be the first time up against the New York Giants playing together, but what you have to do is you have to get him his runs. When he was running in there, it was such a big boost to the offense because defense couldn't tee in on him only being in the game for passing situations. When he was effective running it, it spread up everything else for the rest of the offense.
David, it's time for our weekly Twitter question. This one comes from at Eddie Goomba. He says, do the Giants have to blitz more to generate more of a pass rush? They had one sack in Philly. They have eight for the season.
Well, the big thing about when you're blitzing, you have got to get home, especially against this team. But I will say this. When you're going up against Matt Castle, you want to pressure him. You want to get hits on him because he is a quarterback that can get rattled, and that's where he has his miscues, whether it's interception, fumbles, and where he gives up the most majority of his sacks.
Now, we talked about Kennard helping the rush defense. That's the last two games now. He didn't play. 100-plus yards in each of those games by the opponent on the ground. Is it that simple, just plugging him in, or do they have to make other adjustments?
They absolutely have to make better adjustments, and it starts with the defensive line. Up until this past week, they were stout inside at the defensive tackle position. They were disciplined outside and forced everything to the flow of where the linebackers and the rest of the defense were coming. What happened this past weekend, they weren't. They were getting edged at the defensive end position. The defensive tackles were getting double-teamed, and they're getting up to the second level, which led to the effective running of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, David, the bottom line is this. The Cowboys are coming in here with one win already over the Giants in Week 1. Should they win on Sunday, that gives them the season sweep and puts the Giants in a lot of trouble because it would be three division losses. When we come back, we'll examine what the Cowboys are bringing to the table, so stick around right here on MSG. Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. So the Giants take on the Cowboys at MetLife Stadium on Sunday, and they need to win to avoid a third loss in the division. Now, did you know since 2007, only two NFC East teams have lost more than two games in the division and still made the playoffs? The 2007 Giants and the 2011 Giants. David, is it a must win?
It is a must win. When you come to this game, when you come to division games, you cannot rely on other teams to take care of your business for you. You have to do it yourself. And I know that you said the 7-11 season, but I've been a part of the history where we've had to rely on other teams and it didn't work out for us. So the only way that this team can ensure itself a playoff home game, which this team needs, is by taking over this division. So it's no surprise that this is a must-win game.
Now, nothing familiar about the Cowboys, because Matt Cassel is now their new quarterback. They made the switch over the bye week last week. Now, he is 9-17 as a starter over his last five seasons. This is a guy who's been around quite a while.
He sure has. And the two stats that really stuck out to me when studying Matt Cassel was he's only had 14 attempts of throws over 10 yards in his three starts last year in Minnesota. So you know he's not going to air it out. The other big stat, with him getting pressured from 2014 to now, he's only completing 30% of his passes. He only has two touchdowns, six interceptions, and 14 sacks. What's that saying? Steve Spagnuolo and this defense have got to be aggressive, and they have got to get him off the spot, because that is where he is going to come up with the costly turnovers that the Giants can create big things for themselves.
Now, they're talking about him handing off the ball to Christine Michael, the former Seahawk who was traded for just before the season. They're thinking that Randall's going to be kind of bench now and Michael's going to be the guy.
Well, they love his physical presence. He is a north-south downhill runner hitting in between the tackles. And the thing that they really feel that he can do is, even if you have eight men in the box, they feel that he can run through arm tackles and still get those chunks of gains that they need, that in first and second down they haven't had that success. And with Randall, he has had success running the football, but the thing that they need him to do is they need him to be more physical inside the tackles and make sure that he protects the football. We know he's elusive. We know that he can get outside the pocket or outside of the tackle booth, but he needs to make sure that he runs things inside. So I think that 1-2 combo for the Dallas Cowboys is what they're going to rely on for this game.
Now, at guard, O'Leary's been nicked up a little bit, hasn't played to the level they want him to, so the rookie Collins is probably going to wind up starting.
And what is Collins known for? He is a mauling offensive guard, offensive lineman. He's strong at the point of attack. So what is he going to do? He is going to add that dimension of the physicalness that the Dallas Cowboys offensive line wants in order to take care of the line of scrimmage and to own the line of scrimmage.
Now, you remember when the Giants played Dallas in week one, early in the fourth quarter, Dez Bryant broke his foot. Mm-hmm. They're being coy in Dallas about whether or not he's going to play. In that game, he had five catches for 48 yards.
Granted, we all know that this offense needs him because they've only scored 26 points in the last 10 quarters. So they need this deep threat. But having said that, he's coming off of his fifth week, fifth metatarsal. I know he's had stem cell injections and try healing the process. But when you're talking about a dynamic wide receiver that has to plant, run, post off of that foot, I don't see him coming back. Also, what it does, it doesn't bring his energy that he brings to the Dallas Cowboys. So as much as they're talking the hype of him having to be in this game, I don't see Dez Bryant playing in it.
Beasley and Williams would be the other guys to watch then in the passing game.
They most certainly were. Beasley and Williams have to spell him, and that's where I think Witten plays into opening things up for both of them.
Now, I want to take a look at a couple of numbers here on defense, because Greg Hardy made it back at right defensive end, you recall, after his suspension. Two sacks, a forced fumble, five hits on the quarterback against the Patriots, and he did take 41 of the 59 snaps in the game.
We all know he sat out a significant amount of time because of his suspension, but this is a player who's had 29 sacks in his last 33 regular season games.
That's nasty.
So you know he brings that physical presence, and we saw the issues last week that both tackles for the New York Giants had at the defensive end position because of the inability in the second half to run the football. Pair that up with Randy Gregory, their first round, or their draft pick, their second rounder that they moved up to get. You have two dynamic pass rushers, one power, one speed, coming off of the edge, where that veteran presence of Greg Hardy really lifts the spirits of that defensive line.
And you know, you heard Coach Coughlin talk about Dallas's improved defense. Well, middle linebacker Rolando McClain is another reason why. Came back off of a suspension against the Patriots in 52 snaps, eight tackles, and a sack. But He's gained 10 pounds. I'm told he's playing at about 270 now.
He is the Dallas Cowboys' best run defender. Physically, he brings it each and every play. And when he comes into the game, you've got a duo of linebackers that can make plays on the field between him and Lee. So having him come back, you know the Dallas Cowboys are very excited because they feel that they can do more things now, whether it's pressuring the quarterback, rushing with four, and stopping the run against this offense.
You get a look at some of these defensive stats for the Cowboys. They're not really happy with those things. Maurice Claiborne in particular at right corner, he's probably going to wind up drawing Odell Beckham Jr. Good matchup for the Giants. Claiborne is second among NFL corners in penalties drawn. He's had six flags on him this year.
And all quarterbacks have been targeting him. One of the other things is this is a penalty play group, the Dallas Cowboys secondary. Through the bye week, five defensive holdings, two illegal use of hands, two pass interference, one illegal contact. So this matchup favors into the wide receivers of the New York Giants. But you have to have a healthy Odell Beckham Jr. and Reuben Randall on the field.
I'll give you another number. They're allowing 7 yak yards per reception, third worst in the NFL.
And this is a defense that has been completely worn down in fourth quarters. We saw it against New Orleans and Atlanta. So if the Giants can control the time of possession on the offensive side of the ball, that's where they're going to get those big breaks in the fourth quarter.
David, one way or the other, it's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a huge game, and I know that we're both excited, just like the fans, to see it.
Let's kick it off today, but the NFL won't let us. It's going to be Sunday, 4:25, MetLife Stadium, right across the street from the parking lot, the Giants and the Cowboys. And don't forget, next Wednesday, right here on MSG Networks, it'll be Giants Press Conference Live. We'll see you then.